Hello and welcome to the Jens Heidland Show. And today we have a very special guest, which is Natalia.
Hi.
And we have a special format. As you can see, if you watch the video version of it, it's a new episode style and a new episode format, which is called Walk the Talk, where we go deeper into innovative ways of working and how people really innovate. And that's what we talk about with Natalia today.
Hello.
So, Natalia, tell us the biggest innovative idea you ever had made yourself and did it.
Oh my God. Can I say starting a business that no one thought is going to be a business?
You can.
Because that wasn't a business. So I think combining my skills of listening, drawing really well, and doing it in a very instant, clear way, suddenly it became an idea for a business that I never thought it would.
So what is the business about?
Well, the business is called Natalka Design. I run it now 13 years, and we're all about creating beautiful transformative experiences for clients to bring up the value of their idea. And how we do it is through visualizing immersive experiences, creating beautiful visual stories of their ideas, their values, their marketing, their pitches, whatever it is that they need. Basically, there's a problem, and how can we solve it in a beautiful, engaging visual way so that people care?
So that was not the talking part. Now we go into the walking part, where we look deeper into how do you visualize stories that have a strategic impact for organizations. So let's go really deep into how you get started with that.
Oh, well, I always say, do you want a espresso version or a wine version?
Let's start with the espresso version and then we can go into the wine
version. Exactly. Well, the story goes, I shouldn't be maybe saying that, but I've never studied one lesson in illustration, never studied one class in business. So I'm a bit of a liar. But the story goes, I was always really curious. I came here just to study. I was supposed to go home. And I just always stayed curious, got in touch with people. That was the days when Twitter was a thing, it was starting. Still Twitter, X, I hate that name. And I tweeted a very interesting businessman, charity owner, consultant. His name was Darren Robson. And I said, well, I would love to meet you for a coffee. I have all these ideas, but I don't know how to put them together. And I was in a very bad job then, underpaid, in a startup, not a good vibe. Didn't know what to do with myself, and he met me, and it's not really too much to say that he changed my life in that hour. It was very, very powerful hour in my life where, let's say the sentiment goes, he was just saying, you're talented, what are you doing? You gotta leave the job. I don't know how I'm gonna help you still. Here's my number, let's figure this out, but you've got a talent. People will need that. People need to see their stories and they need to have them told to drive any change. So he was really passionate about it and I was a bit like, what do you mean? And long story short, he kicked my ass. He became my mentor for the next 6 months. He covered my expenses. I was like blown away that people do that. Like until today, I just find it was the right moment, the right time, luck, everything combined. And I'll be forever grateful because until today, it just continues to drive me in the most magical way. Yeah. What he gave me then as a, basically he saw me, I think. He saw my talent. He saw that I'm here for a reason, I guess. And it was like the biggest gift and the start of something very special.
From a story perspective, you started that story by moving to London.
Yes.
And we're standing on London Bridge today.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
So, my favorite bridge.
Yeah. So, starting with a mentor, but the innovation piece was you taking it step by step forward. So how did you do that, this walking part? One thing is having and getting the opportunity of someone believing in you, and the other thing is making it happen. So what did you do? What kept you going? What did you do on a daily basis to get one step ahead in front of each other?
Well, to be fair with you, even before meeting him, I was always so in love with drawing and visualizing people's stories and bringing it to life. And I was always just fascinated by humans and the stories that they tell, and just I've always been illustrating. Always. I always say it's my longest internship in my life, as a kid even, because that matters, right? The famous 10,000 hours, I guess. So let's say unknowingly, I was building that up until meeting him and an action like started to create itself. So I already had a random portfolio of things. I was doing tons of things for free. I was illustrating random things. I was helping people problem solve visually. I was creating mood boards for people. I was doing all sorts of things. Even like there's kids books out there with my illustrations, who knows. So let's say I was unknowingly building that up, but I was always feeling that there's something more out there for me than what I was doing. I was always feeling that, I don't know, inner, like, I know I'm here to do, to help people, to do bigger things, to just share my skill, I guess, in my brain with more humans so they can also, you know, get inspired by it and see the change and drive their passions through that. So I was doing things before, then I met him, and then you're right. Like, that was the moment where you either go home and you're like, who was that guy? Like, let me just go back to my safety, I guess, in a way. Yes, I was underpaid, really bad London. But I was just like, he gave me so much energy. I was like, okay, that's it. I'm gonna find someone. I found someone who for free did my first website. There was no Squarespace back then. There was nothing. It was heavily coded. I had no idea how he even did it. I found someone to help me with my cards. And I just started running around and talking to people. Like, I always say to everyone, just connect with people, talk, and ask questions. And that's just, I think, what I've been doing for the last God knows how many years. And I continue to.
Yeah. I love that because, as the listeners know, I always talk about the human innovation aspect. And that is human interaction with each other and processes and ways of thinking and the steps you are doing, like putting things into action. Mm. Through relationships, because that's where the magic comes to, where the magic happens, literally.
Yeah.
So, talking about what you do, if you work with organizations, we have talked about that in the past as well, and would love to dig deeper into that. So one of the things you do is helping companies to visualize strategies and help them to tell their stories. So when we look into innovating and walking the talk when it comes to strategy, what have you seen in strategies and organization that didn't come to life, and how do you do that and help them to come to life?
Well, again, it's like all we do at Nataka Design is for people to be seen. I feel so strongly about it because it's one thing to come up with an idea, and I always think about a metaphor of you've got a team, sometimes companies have big teams, and everyone's rowing, let's say, everyone's got a rowing machine, and there's no way that not everyone's gonna row the same way and understand you exactly what's your vision. Because usually CEOs and leaders are so passionate about their vision. They know, they feel it. They're like, we've got this. They set up the strategy. It's a beautiful kickoff, usually in January. Everyone's excited. But what happens then is they forget that not everyone understands that vision. Not everyone is aligned. Not everyone actually gets it. Not everyone finds it clear enough. It's down to cultural backgrounds even, down to language, down to how we view certain points, is down to all sorts of things. So what this visual experience brings is alignment, is bringing everyone on the same page, is inspiring. We literally see how when we bring these strategies to life, people just go, wow. There's that feeling of like, we can actually do it. There's that accountability. You can literally tick something off, and we all like to tick something off and see how we're progressing rather than think how we're progressing. You know how I even spoke to you recently, like, if I don't put things down, I'm like all over the place. I'm like, yeah. This, that, yeah. What's going on? We're too overwhelmed. So think of it as this beautiful experiential immersive hub to bring that strategy into one place and actually make it very actionable. That's where I see the biggest change.
Yeah, and I what I love about that, it's understandable for people that might not have been part of the strategy process, because a lot of time the strategy is built with a specific group that is working together, let's say maybe 10 managers, 10 different people, but the people that are working in the retail stores or on the front line of that organization, they might not have been involved.
Awesome.
So they often don't understand from a strategic visionary concept to what does it really mean? What is the detailed action? And what you do is bringing that to life.
Yeah, no, and like when you say that, it's actually quite nostalgic because we're near London Bridge Station, and one of the projects that we helped to bring to life was a few years of revamping that station from not a pretty good one, to the latest kind of state of art station in 2018-19, and how we helped them to bring it to life was literally visualizing who's involved, who is needed, what's the challenges, what's the opportunity, what's the vision, literally a timeline, but in a very coherent, clear, synthesized way, so that we don't need to always look at 500 things, 500 documents, we can always come back to one place. And what it brought again is alignment, and the speed of delivery was 3 times faster. And just everyone was just excited because they could see what's going to happen. It's the whole like, I think there's the art to visualization. I don't know how much you go into that, but if you dig deeper into visualization and the power of it, there's all the data and studies and science that once our brains can see something, we literally are double more likely to achieve it. Because the brain doesn't know whether that's true or not, it just sees it, therefore it thinks it's real. So I like to play with a lot of neuroscience behind, and you know, kind of psychological tricks to get people to see the value of it.
Yeah, I think a very, very important one, specifically to those listeners or the people who are watching the video version of this. A lot of people see the beautiful visualizations and think the product is the visualization, but it's not about the visualization. Yes, it is, but it's more about the process on how you get there and how you enable the stakeholders as part of that process to think differently through visual appealing stories that help them to understand how to take it to the next level, if I understood you right.
Yeah, I mean, I always say it's not about the execution. You know, if you want something, if you, we can create any transformative experience. It can be massive predictions, it can be VR experience, AR, it could be art piece, it could be something you can print on your desk. It doesn't almost matter, because that is a skill that we have in the team. What matters is how we approach the problem, how we dig down deep into it, what questions we ask. And it's just beautiful and exciting. I wish I could film all these faces when we work behind the scenes with people, because it just gives that extra something special, I would say, in the room, when people can literally see their ideas coming to life much faster in just in front of them. It's like extracting things from their brain. And it's just that's where I think is the USP. That's why people keep coming back, because it's a very different experience. It's very immersive.
Yeah. If we take London Bridge Station as one of the examples, so you have been part of that project for a couple of years. What happened with that station? So the end product was the new station.
Obviously.
And what happened to the people that have been involved? And as well, how was the experience change for the people that are traveling through the station?
Well, I don't know the numbers. Now you're catching me on data that I should know. But basically, it just became state-of-the-art station that allows for millions of more people to go through the station and travel on the trains every year. It's basically something that, when I looked at the size of the project, I was a bit like, whoa, this will be a moment. And it's fascinating to see, for me and my team, to see behind the scenes how multi-layered and long in kind of complicated these projects sometimes are, yet here we are. Like, humans can create anything when there's alignment, when there's a plan, and there's a clear action plan. And I guess we are sitting in that intersection of there's information, there's action, and we're in between. We allow that action in a more interesting, inspiring, clear way, I would say.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Another key thing for me to learn about from that is really the impact you do with what you're doing. It's not just the organization, it's the people that are exposed to the project they're doing, and it's the customers, the clients, the travelers that are part of this transformation. And that goes back to walking the talk. It's not just theoretically thinking about the concept, about the strategy. It's how do you work with the strategy so that it is translated into action, like you said.
Yeah.
And then making it happen for the people that are traveling, for the customers that are shopping, for the end consumers of the organization or the product.
That's the thing, right? We all are involved in projects. We all need to work. That's how the world is built. But it just gives you so much more meaning, I guess, as an individual, as a team, as a bigger unit, where you see that what you created, what you worked on so carefully, has an impact and allows more people to, well, it's down to someone can see each other on a weekend. Someone has a job in a shop and can support themselves. Someone every day, someone saying hello and hugs every day. You know, like when you think about even these sort of results of a project, that's what makes it so much more exciting. And that's also what we put on those visualizations, because it's not just like, yeah, project done, paid, we're going. It's about what this will allow wider society to experience.
Yeah. I would like to transition to walking the talk. So what can people do that are thinking about a strategy and a storytelling and visualization and connecting that? What can small things people can do to innovate on a daily basis for themselves, with themselves, and with maybe super simple tricks you could give them?
That's the thing. You don't need to call us up straight away. You don't need to worry, oh, you know, I don't draw, or I don't know how to even where to start. First of all, if you've got a team, there's always someone, I bet you, who likes to doodle, who likes to come up with ideas. And let's be honest, all of us as kids were drawing, were doodling, even, you know, when we were young. So I just really believe this is a skill that we could all put back into practice a bit more. So I would say on a daily, have a look at whatever idea or project you're working on, take out one sentence out of it, and even literally with stickmen and dots and circles, try to put it on a paper and see what comes up. If you don't like how it looks like, is there someone that can help you make this look better? If you don't have anyone around you, are there tools that can help you, like Canva, like Photoshop, like all these tools, right? Again, if you don't have the tools, there's websites where tons of freelancers and excited young people can help you to bring that to life. So on a daily, you can start with a little note and start thinking visually, and maybe your next presentation, yes, have your amazing fancy slides and all the report, but also maybe start the day and start the conversation with, like, guys, I kind of like doodled 3 points of what we're going to talk about today, and just show it. And I promise you, suddenly the focus from you as an individual goes to the map, always, because people go, you got them immersed, you got them engaged. That's how visualizations work. So I would say there's so many ways to start it. Just start tiny, start small, get a notebook, start doodling what is the next idea, and see if you, you know, sometimes, to be fair with you, people connect with simple sketches because they feel more familiar. They don't feel overwhelmed that it needs to be super pretty. Often we don't start anything because we're scared it's not going to be perfect. I don't believe in that. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's perfect. So just little steps.
I would love to go deeper into that from when you have been talking about doodling and designing and doing things. You always use your hand like a pen.
Yeah.
What is the difference from your experience using a pen and a paper, or a pen at least, rather than a mouse and a scratch pad or a pad that goes into digital tools straight away?
I would say it's there's something, it's a different connection for the brain. Mm-hmm. So I highly, highly encourage all of us, coming back to the last point, use your hand more when you can for coming up with ideas, for scribbling stuff out, for writing. None of us have anymore a writing style. Like at school, I had the best style, writing style. Where's that? We all lost it.
I didn't, definitely.
So I am the biggest fan of digital. Anyone that knows me would know I'm always the first one to test out a new gadget or a new tech. But there's a different connection between what your brain is processing and how you're using your hand. So I would say, do find places for scribbling, ideating, coming up with ideas where you can use your hand. It's very powerful.
And then, like you said, it don't need to be pretty. Mm-hmm. Because I know that I don't think that I'm the best drawer, but I know that I can do it because I do it with my daughter.
Oh, there you go.
And literally, her drawings look better than mine, but she still understands that, oh, this is a fire truck and this is a boat. So yes, I can make myself understood by using my hand and using a visual tool that helps her understanding what I'm talking about. And if we link that to business, we can all do that. It's just our anxiety that it might seem not professional if it's a car that doesn't look like a real car, but everyone understands it is a car.
Yeah.
And as more often you draw it, which goes back to walking the talk, as more often you do it, as better you get.
Totally. And I would say that's the thing. If we all did a bit more of using that skill, as in, you're running a session, you're drawing me a car. I couldn't care less how it looks like.
Yeah.
I understand it's a car. You're trying to make a point in the conversation. If the only thing we're worried about is someone going like, that doesn't look like a car, Jens, is that really the point of today's meeting, right? No one says that about writing. That's the very interesting thing. Does anyone tell you that's really bad writing? Maybe your mom would say that back in the days or something, but no one comments on that. Why do we comment and judge someone's drawing skills? It's not about drawing. It's about making a point. It's about communicating what's on your mind. And we all, if we get to see, and we're lucky enough, we all can understand stickman. We all can understand circle, square, very simple shapes.
So you mentioned helping people be seen. How do you do that, and how can and people learn from that?
Oh, how do I do that? I'm so, so happy that I understand now that that's what I'm here for on this planet. Like, I feel like I've always been doing it. I just could never name it. How do I do that? I do that through my skills. So obviously in my team skills, anything we produce usually ends up a beautiful visual immersive experience. So I help them with the team to be seen, for their stories to be seen. That's like number one reason why we do what we do. And how I do that in life, it's also, it's down to even noticing a barista in my cafe and saying hello, rather than kind of coming up like, you know, tired or something. Is seeing a person that cleans our building every day and smiling at him and saying hello and how are you. And that's, these things are so, so important for me, that we all feel that we're seen, because sometimes it takes one person to make you feel like you matter. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And how others can do it is what I just mentioned, is down from the tiniest things. How can you make someone feel seen? This could be a little comment, this could be a little message, this could be asking them if they need any help, this could be helping someone, I don't know, with groceries, and this could be using your amazing skills to better the world and better your team and better everyone else. So it's, to me, it's like from the tiniest things to massive projects on a scale, right? But I'm truly, truly passionate about it, and I very much believe in the importance of it.
Why is that important to you?
Because I know what it means not to be seen in life, and it sucks. It makes you feel really lonely, and I have this endless somehow need, I don't know if that's why I feel like I'm here, that I don't want anyone to feel like that. And even if that is one person on this planet that I can make feel like they matter and their voice matters, their story matters, I'm happy. Like, even if it's one person. And I feel like it's already been more than one person. So whenever is my last day on this planet, I'm just so happy to continue what I do. And I feel like it's my mission. I don't know. That's what drives me every day.
This is an amazing mission, and I would love to finish the podcast with that. And would
thank you
very much for being on the first episode of the format Walk the Talk.
Yes.
And for everyone who is watching the video, it's truly all about helping people be seen. So walk the talk and let people be seen. Thank you very much,
thank
Natalia,
you.
And let's walk the talk together.
Thank you. See ya.